All right, well, next week we are starting a brand new series where we are talking all about the devil. No, we are not talking about your boss or your in-laws. We're talking about the actual devil, our enemy. And in fact, the Bible has a lot to say about our enemy, and so we are going to be diving into it, and we are looking forward to it. We hope you are as well. That starts next week. Today, though, we are wrapping up this series that we have been in called By Design, where we've been talking all about relationships for these last 6 weeks. And, you know, one of the things that has always been intriguing to me or fascinating to me is getting to watch professional athletes, especially athletes are like at the top of their game. I remember growing up watching Michael Jordan play and just being amazed at how good he was. He just seemed to be so much better than everyone else, winning championship after championship. I remember watching Tiger Woods when he was in his prime, and it just seemed like whatever tournament he was in, he would win that tournament. Even today, I'm fascinated by LeBron James. At his age of 40 years old, yet still so good and amazing at the game of basketball year in and year out. And what's interesting is, as you observe and watch these athletes, what you don't often see is that there's actually this team behind the team, or there's this team behind that athlete that is supporting and propping up that player to help them be great. You rarely see the chef or the therapist or the nutritionists or the trainers and the coaches, even family, that are helping to prop up and to support this athlete. In fact, I heard LeBron James even say that he spends $1 million every year just on his body and on getting ready and prepped for another year. That money goes to his trainer, to his chef, to his therapist, to this team of people around him that's preparing him for another year in the NBA. And you know, we've been in the series where we're talking all about relationships and God's design for relationships. And today what I want to do is I want to talk about that team that we have around us, this team of relationships that's helping us and propping us and supporting us in our lives. And similar to how a professional athlete has a team of people around them that's challenging and coaching them to be able to, you know, put a basketball through a hoop. In the same way, how important is it for us to have a team of people around us that's supporting us and challenging us when it comes to the most important area of our lives? And that's to follow Jesus and to look more like him. So I want to talk about that. What if you had that kind of team in your life? Who's coaching you? Who is calling you out? Who's cheering you on? Because here's the truth. We were never designed to do life alone. You were never designed to do life alone. In fact, we see this common thread all throughout the pages of Scripture that we were designed for connection, for community, and for relationships. And I think we all know this to one degree or another, and we have friends, and we have acquaintances and people we know in our lives, but I wonder how many of us, though, have this team around us that's challenging us and pushing us to be more like Jesus. And so what does that look like? What does it look like to have a healthy team and to have healthy relationships in our lives? And I want to talk about that really through the lens of these words from the Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 6 today. Pull out your copy of God's Word, and you can meet me there in Galatians chapter 6. And some context for Galatians and this book. We know that the Apostle Paul, he is the writer. He wrote this letter to this church in Galatia. So he's writing to followers of Jesus. And we also know that this church that he's writing to, they're wrestling with legalism. You see, many of these recent converts to faith in Jesus are coming out of Judaism. And so they're coming out of just the Mosaic law, the rituals and traditions of the Jewish faith, and circumcision and all these rituals. And like, this is what we knew, and this is how we're made right with God. And Paul's pushing against that. And he's saying, no, there's a new way of doing things now. And here in Galatians 6, Paul begins to address and talk about how we are to relate to each other in our relationships. And look at what he says in verse 2. He says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. One of the first benefits that we see Paul describing to us here when we have a team of people around us is that they help to shoulder the weight of life, the burdens of life. Paul says we're not meant to shoulder the burdens and the weight of life all on our own. We're meant to share that together with one another, to carry each other's burdens. It's interesting, if you look at verse 2, he also says at the end, he says, carry each other's burdens. But notice he says, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now, what does Paul mean by that? In fact, isn't that a little weird? I thought Paul's pushing against legalism. He's pushing against the law, but here he's saying, fulfill the law of Christ. And Paul, here, what he's doing is he uses this statement, law of Christ. Another way you could say that is actually the law of love. And what Paul is doing is he's pointing back to Jesus' own command in places like John 13:34. In fact, Drew talked all about this verse in week one of this series where Jesus says, look, there's a new command. There's a new way of doing things. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. In fact, Paul actually points right back to this command of Jesus just a chapter earlier in Galatians. In Galatians 5, verse 14, look at what Paul says. Paul says this, for the entire law, all 600 plus laws, all of them are now fulfilled by keeping just one command. And what is that command? It's to love your neighbor as yourself. And so when Paul says the law of Christ, what he's doing here is he's referring to Jesus' command to love sacrificially, to love other people the way that Jesus has loved us. And so carrying one another's burdens, it's not just about being nice. It's not like this is just the kind thing to do. No, this is a tangible expression of Christ-like love, a love that steps in, a love that lifts up, a love that walks alongside of others. It stands in contrast to the old way of doing things, the old law. And Paul's saying, look, you want to fulfill the law? Then love like Jesus. It's not by rules. It is now by relationships through the way that we love others. This self-giving love, the kind of love that carries burdens. It lays down our pride and is willing to walk with others in grace and truth. I wonder for you, as you consider and look at your life today, I wonder for you, who knows your real burdens in your life? Who is that person in your life that knows the greatest weight that you are carrying in your life right now? Who is that person for you? I wonder, who's the person that you have invited? They have kind of this open invitation that at any point in time, they can just ask you, hey, how are you doing? And truly, how are you doing? And they won't let you get away with a surface level answer, but they truly care. They truly want to know what's going on in your life. Paul tells us one of the benefits of having a team is that we don't have to carry the weight of life, the burdens of life on our own. We need people on our team that are going to help us when life gets too heavy to carry it on our own. Paul continues, though, and he goes on to say that we also need people on our team that are going to tell us the truth. I need people in my life that are going to tell me the truth. Paul actually continues in verse 3. And he says, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Paul says here, we can so quickly and easily deceive ourselves. And we begin to think that we're something that we're not. Pride can so quickly sweep in and we're no longer focusing on the law of Christ, right? And loving others sacrificially and generously, that we begin to focus on ourselves. And we need people in our lives who are going to tell us the truth, even when we don't want to hear it. I remember actually kind of a funny example of this. A number of years ago, one of my buddies, he used to be on staff, and it was after one of our services. This was on a Sunday. And as I was getting ready to go out into the lobby, I remember he came up to me and he kind of leaned in and he handed me this mint and he said, hey man, look, this is for your good and everyone else's you're about to talk to right now. I remember being like offended by that, but then I was like grateful and then I was like offended again. But he was looking out for his brother. He was trying to help me out. Like, dude, Nate, your breath stinks, man. You need some help. And that's a silly example, but yet at the same time, we need people like that who are going to step in and tell us the things that we need to hear. We need people in our lives that are willing to step in and just say, hey, man, I noticed you've kind of just been drawn away. You've been isolating yourself. Like, what's going on? Are you okay? Or I've noticed just the way that you're responding lately, it just doesn't seem like you. You seem frustrated. Like, is something going on? What's up? We need people like that in our lives that are willing to gently call us out in love, help us to see, to notice those blind spots that we have a hard time seeing but can be hurtful or harmful to people around us. We need people that are going to speak that truth into our lives to help us to see that. And why is that? Well, it's because Paul tells us we can so easily deceive ourselves. We can think we're better than we really are. I don't need help. I got this all figured out on my own. Or we go the other direction, where we think we're way worse than we really are, and so we throw this pity party, and like nothing just seems to go right, and pride takes us a number of different ways, and Paul says, look, you need truth speakers in your life to help us see what we need to see. And then Paul continues. He actually continues now in verse 5, and he actually says something here that almost seems to contradict what he just shared with us in verse 2. Look at what he says in verse 5. He says, for each one should carry their own load. Now, it's interesting here because this almost seems like a contradiction because in verse 2, Paul said that we're to carry each other's burdens, but here in verse 5, he's saying, no, you need to carry your own load. So what is Paul trying to say here? And it's actually really amazing and fascinating to me what Paul is saying here, because when you look at the original language, which was Greek, that was what Paul was writing this letter in. In verse 2, if you look at the word for burden in the Greek, that word literally means a crushing weight. It's like this weight you are carrying that is just crushing you down. Like you cannot stand up on your own underneath this weight. It's this crushing weight. That's what a burden is. But in verse 5, that word for load in the Greek, that word means daily responsibilities. That means there are things that I am responsible for and you are responsible to carry each and every day. And we need people in our lives that are going to remind us to carry what is ours to carry. You need people in your life that are reminding you to carry what is yours to carry. In other words, ultimately, you're responsible for some things in life. You're responsible for your spiritual growth. That's not on your parents. That's not on your friends. It's not on your pastors or your church. Now, we as a church, we help, we shepherd, we teach, and we aid in that. But ultimately, that responsibility is on you to feed your faith and to grow. You're responsible for your choices, how you show up to work. That's your responsibility, the attitude and how hard you work. That's on you. You're responsible for what you do outside of work, your social relationships, how you interact with technology, tech, with alcohol, with relationships, all of those things. Those are your responsibility. Now, we don't have to walk this journey alone, and this is where it is so important to have a healthy team of people around us. Healthy relationships, they're so important, and having people in our lives that are not enabling us to continue in these harmful paths or in these harmful ways, but are gently and lovingly willing to remind us of our responsibility to carry the things that are ours to carry. I remember probably 4 or 5 years ago, just going through a really difficult and hard season in my life. And at the time, I was meeting with a counselor, and I remember in one of our sessions, I don't know why I asked him this. Maybe I was getting a little frustrated. I'm not really sure, but I just asked the counselor. I was like, if you could just give me like 2 or 3 things that I need to do. What are like the 2 or 3 things I need to do that would help to resolve just the struggle that I'm feeling right now? And I remember after I asked him that question, he kind of leaned back in his chair and he put his hand on his chin and he looked up at the ceiling and he was quiet. And he was quiet for a really, really long time. I mean, it had to be a minute. I'm serious. It was a long time. You can ask my wife, Emily. She was there in the room as well. And he's just sitting there, and I'm just like, oh man, whatever the wrong question to ask, like I just asked that question, and like, I'm just, my mind is spinning. I'm just like, what is he gonna say? And You know, eventually he leans in, he catches my gaze, my eyes, and he looks at me and he says, "Listen, Nate, I can't do this work for you." And I'll never forget that because he was spot on. This is exactly what I needed to hear because I just wanted, like, just give me the list. Like, give me the steps. Give me the formula to fix this. And what he was doing is he was pointing me to the right source. He was pointing me to trust and to depend on God, that God was up to something here. And there was something he's trying to teach me and for me to learn in the season. I need to lean on him and go to him. And that's what healthy relationships do. They push us to the right sources. They do not enable irresponsibility. They push us. Even when you're angry or offended, they're going to push you to take that to God, to process it with him before you go and blast it to everybody else. Healthy relationships, they're not going to let you get away with trying to make someone else responsible for managing your mood or managing your attitude. They're going to push you to apologize first when you're in the wrong, to be the first one to pursue reconciliation. You see, a healthy team, healthy relationships empower responsibility. And they do it with grace and truth to help us see what is ours to carry. What's our responsibility? And so I wonder, are you taking ownership of what is yours? Who are the people in your life that are helping you and pushing you to take responsibility for those things in your life that you are responsible for? You see, what Paul is doing here is he's helping us see and understand the value of relationships and to having a healthy team around us that can carry the burdens of life when they are too heavy for us to carry, that are going to point us to see and hear the truth that we need to hear, that are also going to remind us to carry the things that are our responsibility to carry. We need each other. We need a team. But here's the deal. We don't just need any team because the reality is there's a lot of different teams out there. There's a lot of opportunities to find community out there. You have your gym membership and your gym group, the people that you work out with. You have the PTA. You have your workplace friends. You have your kids' sports teams or the clubs that they're a part of and the relationships with other families that are there. You got your fantasy football league. You have online forums. There's so many different places to find a team and to find community, and those places are great. There's nothing wrong with those things. They do meet certain needs in our lives, but here's the truth. They are not the church. There's no replacement for the church. Those things, they're built on shared interests, shared activities, but the church is different. There's no replacement for the church because the church is built on a shared Savior. That we have come to know Jesus, our Savior, and what he has done for us, and he has changed our lives. And as a result of that, we are now welcomed into the family of God. We're a part of this spiritual family, and as part of this family, we're called to love one another, to care for one another, to shoulder and carry the burdens, and to sharpen one another, and also take this message of hope, the message of Jesus, to the world around us. The church is different. It's built on the person and the work of Jesus. He's changed our lives. He's commissioned us to go to share his love with the world around us. So as the church, we don't just get together and gather to hang out. No, we gather to grow. We don't just support each other. No, we sharpen each other. We don't just celebrate the wins, but we carry each other through the losses in life as well. The church is not just a group of people. It is a spiritual family designed by God to help us follow Jesus more faithfully. And we do this together in the church and in our relationships with other followers of Jesus. We're going to find people that love us enough to carry our burdens, call out those blind spots, walk with us in grace and truth that push us to be more like Jesus. And look, these relationships, they're not always easy. They're tough. They're hard. They're messy. But they are essential. In fact, Proverbs describes in a beautiful picture these relationships. Look at what it says in Proverbs 27:17. It says this, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." What beautiful imagery there of iron sharpening iron. Like that's a raw process. And you think about that, like iron, it can't sharpen iron from a distance. You need proximity. You need closeness. You need honesty for that to work. You need people in your life that know the real you. The reality is you can't just show up here on Sundays hoping for spiritual growth. You need a team, a circle, a group of people, of healthy relationships in your life that are pushing you towards Christ. So a few questions that I have for you. The first question is just simply this: who's on your team? When you look at your life right now, who is on your team? Who's the person or two or three, the people that know what you are truly struggling with right now? Who are the people that are asking you the tough, the hard questions that get beneath the surface of what's happening in your life? Who's that person you've given permission to speak truth in your life? You see, you were not designed to do life alone. And that is what the church is all about. It's what it's meant to be. Not just this crowd of spectators that gathers together once a week, but no, we are called to be a team of burden bearers. People who walk into the hardest places of our lives, and we do it together with one another. Even in the midst of the hardest moments, even in the midst of the fire of life. You see, one of the worst things that you could ever do is to walk through life alone. So who is on your team? And if you're here today and you're like, man, I don't have a spiritual team. I don't have those close relationships around me. Well, then maybe today God is calling you to say, it's time. It's time. You need to find a team. And maybe for some of you that don't have those close relationships around you, maybe your next step is, you know, just to get more than a Sunday seat at one of our campuses. And it's to find community. It's to find relationships. One of the things that is so important to how we do ministry here at Northridge Church is that we are not a program-driven church. We are not an event-driven church. We are a relationship-driven church. So we're always encouraging people to find relationships, to find friendships. And that's not because we came up with this great idea, but that is because that is how God has designed it to work, that we grow most when we are in relationships with other people, that we grow spiritually when we're connected relationally, that there's this refining process, there's this sharpening that happens when I'm sharing my stuff and my burdens with other people and they're doing the same to me, and we help each other to grow. We push one another on. We encourage one another to be more like Christ. And so maybe for some of you, it's just trying a group. You hear us talk about groups regularly here at Northridge Church. You've heard us talk about summer groups. They're starting up here shortly across all of our campuses. It is a great place to start. If you've never tried a group before, the good thing is everyone who's jumping into a summer group, they're all in the same spot. They're trying community out for the very first time. Maybe that's a step for you. Or maybe, honestly, it's you being honest for the very first time with someone in your life about a burden that you have been carrying for a very, very long time. And maybe a step for you is just to let someone else into your life, spiritually speaking, to allow them to carry that burden with you. Who is on your team? And then finally, are you being a good teammate? Are you being a good teammate? And maybe you've even noticed a friend in your life that has been drifting away, and maybe it's time for you to come alongside, tap them on the shoulder, and just say, hey man, let's get back on track. Maybe you're already part of a group or you have Christian community in your lives, but you've kind of just been like just skating by, not super intentional. Maybe it's time for you to be more intentional, to plug in more deeply with the guys in your community, to plug in more deeply with the girls in your community. Maybe it's to drop off a meal, a cup of coffee, or a note of encouragement to a friend who is struggling, but are you being a good teammate? You see, we were designed by God to be a community, to be a team for each other that speaks truth into our lives, that encourages, that carries the burdens of life, that help to point us back to Jesus. Don't do life alone. We were designed for relationships. Let's be a church that's willing to walk alongside of others in the hardest of moments. And as we do that, we grow together in becoming more and more like Jesus. Don't do life alone. Who is on your team? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for your great love for us, that we can have a relationship with you. Lord, may we never take that for granted. Lord, I pray that you would help us to show and to demonstrate the love of Jesus in our relationships that we have around us. That this relationship series, it wouldn't just be the series that we did as a church and it was great and we move on, but it would truly be a new way of operating in our relationships. Lord, help us to love others in the way that you have loved us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.